This portion of the show is brought to you by my good friends at Diamond Auto Glass, where the difference is clear.com.
This is the Jeff Orvid Show.
All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Orvitz here. Happy to be here with you today. Snowy afternoon in northern Arizona. We'll get to all that in just a few minutes. We're going to get to Austin Vanderhaeden with the Office of Digital Government. That's what we're going to talk about. Crazy Orwellian thing going on in Gilbert. Austin's actually with the Goldwater Institute, goldwaterinstitute.org. We'll get to him in just a second. I think we have Senator Wendy Rogers coming up to give us a legislative update, and Mark Howitt's going to join me, talk about a bunch of things, including, hey, I think those, four of those illegals that allegedly beat up New York Police Department officers in Times Square there. I think four of them have shown up in Arizona. So, you know, great thing here with our open borders and the invasion that continues. So we'll get to all that. If you got a comment, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Good day to go inside with all this weather we're getting. Timberline Firearms and Training, just north of Flagstaff, about 5 minutes north of Flagstaff. Great indoor shooting range. They got everything you need to when it comes to firearms, ammunition, accessories. Liberty Safes. I'm pointing at one right now, right here in the studio. Go check it out. Plus, they're great training. They're great training courses. Whether you're new to firearms, somewhere in the middle, or expert level, Timberline Firearms and Training will get you all set up. And thank you to them for their longtime sponsorship here on the program. Mentioned it. You heard it right here on the show when you go out and see them. Timberline Firearms and Training. Call them about their training courses. 928-526-7900. 928-526-7900. All right. Let's welcome to the program Austin Vanderhaeden. He's with the Goldwater Institute. I said you were with the Office of Digital Government. Sorry about that, Austin. How are you doing today?
No, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
You don't be connected to that. I mean, that sounds about as Orwellian as it gets. So what was this thing? This is in Gilbert, the ODG. Break this thing down for us. They were spying on the employees of the city?
Yeah, so this Office of Digital Government started off as a normal communications department. And it transformed into, exactly like you said, this Orwellian centralized power in Gilbert, led by a former Hillary Clinton intern. Her name is Dana Birchman. She makes $200,000 a year.
Nice.
And $1.1 million of taxpayer money is being spent on this department to essentially promote uniform speech, right? So they've taken away the ability of each department within Gilbert have their own social media. So I always use the example. Let's say the fire department in Gilbert wants to put something out saying, hey, there's an increased fire risk today. You know, watch out. They can't do that. They have to go through the Office of Digital Government to do it. But they're also spying on individual social media accounts. So there are public records that revealed that this Dana Birchman individual, she would email the fire chief or the police chief or whoever it is and say, hey, so-and-so liked this post, or they tweeted something about, you know, Trump or whatever it is. And essentially the expectation was that that supervisor would then reprimand that individual. And so it's crazy. Meanwhile, Dana Birchman is on social media promoting Black Lives Matter. And she's got those filters on Facebook of Biden Harris 2020. And she's saying, you know, oh no, not a bunch of old white men, when she's talking about Trump's cabinet picks, all of these crazy things. And so they're totally fine to promote leftist, you know, progressive activist speech. But when it comes to conservative speech, they can't have any of that. And that's what's happening in Gilbert, which is, wow, it's not something that you would expect at all in Gilbert. It's pretty crazy.
And excuse me for the, you know, my understanding of the greater Phoenix area. Obviously I go down there quite a bit, but I when I think of, you know, the 5.5 million people in the area there, everything to me is Phoenix. Is Gilbert kind of one of the smaller towns or cities?
Yeah, so Gilbert is, I believe it's 400,000 people, which I guess is not a small town at all. But it's definitely more conservative.
Yeah.
And, you know, they pride themselves on being, having the title of the safest town in Arizona, one of the safest in America. And they have conservative values, and that's, you know, shown time and time again. But this is a group of unelected bureaucrats, and that's what I think is so concerning here. These people weren't elected. This isn't the council that's doing this, you know, pushing these progressive policies. This is individuals who work for the town. I mean, $200,000 to be the director of this department. That's unheard of in local government. And so, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, no, here's the thing. I ran into this issue, and we're still dealing with this issue in Coconino County at the elections department, where they had an outside group come in to, they subscribed to an outside group that had leanings back to the Zuck Bucks thing, right? And I'm going to say the same thing about that department that I'd say about Gilbert. I don't care if you're on the left or the right. This crap shouldn't be in government. They should be there to do that job. And, quite frankly, shouldn't be promoting leftist causes or right wing causes.
Absolutely. Yeah, this would be a problem. I've stressed this. This would be a problem if it was a conservative group trying to suppress liberal speech. People should not be policed like this at all. It just so happens that in this instance, in Gilbert, it's one side and it's the progressive side that's trying to silence the conservative side.
Yeah.
And to be fair, we've only seen this one instance in Gilbert. This could be happening in other cities across Arizona, across really the whole country. This could be happening anywhere. This is just one incident
Austin, I suspect, Austin, when you unearth one, there's usually a lot more, but this is the one that you've actually found. And again, it's the Office of Digital Government in Gilbert. So what were they were censoring, or they were flag? How? Give me some examples here. This would be social media of employees of the city, of the town. Were they hitting their personal accounts or the official city accounts? Because I would imagine that they have some authority over the official city accounts, but what you do off the clock is what you do off the clock.
Right. We're talking about individuals' private social media accounts. This is not the Parks and Rec Department, you know, social media account. It's individual employees on their own time. A perfect example of this, a town councilman actually spoke out against this, Jim Torgerson is his name, and he came out and said that he shared a town survey on his private social media account, not his town-affiliated one, his private Facebook. And 20 minutes later, he got a call from someone in this Office of Digital Government demanding that he take this survey down, because it was too soon and it wasn't approved by this Office of Digital Government. So one, there's no way that they should have even seen this because it's a private social media account, but it's a survey from the town, and because it wasn't approved from this, you know, Office of Digital Government, they can't have that. So that's what's going on with that department.
Yeah. And I mean, look, I've sat in that chair in Flagstaff years ago as a council member. And, you know, if you want to put something out there and it's public record, you can put it out there. So if they came up with that, it's fair game. And those council members are there to reveal and bring this kind of stuff out. And quite frankly, they should have control over the city manager, which has control over this department.
Right. You would think, it's really been crazy to kind of see all of this unfold. It sounds like, you know, there was a town council meeting about a week ago, and the public is furious about this. Yeah. They're frustrated that their taxpayer dollars are going to this, rightfully so. But they're just looking for a change. And I think that this really kind of all took off during COVID. That's really when a lot of this kind of centralized power was gained by this department. And they're just looking for this to be changed and looking for some leadership at the council level to kind of make that change.
So this has been going on since 20. When did this thing take off, the Office of Digital Government, the Orwell office?
Yeah. So in 2012, this department became, you know, a thing. And so that's when the office first started. And that's when it was just a normal communications department. And again, I'm not advocating for there to be no communications oversight or whatever it is, but that's how it started. 2019 is really when they took the ability and the power away from every other department to tweet what they need or Facebook or whatever it is. And Dana Birchman, the head of this office, is actually on record. She said this on their town podcast. You know, each department needs to come and ask us for a Facebook page. We're not just going to give them a Facebook page. They have to show us why they need it and all this stuff. So she's pretty power hungry in that sense. She's also gone private on social media after this report came out. The head of the communications is private.
She can go private, but the employees, and you said you've unearthed posts that were political, BLM, things like that. You know, she said she did stuff with Clinton and all that. So she's obviously quite political in the past, at least.
Yes, absolutely. Oh yeah. She's not trying to hide any of this. She's actually She's also called people who show up to council meetings pitchfork people. She said that she doesn't care about the opinions of the pitchfork people that show up to city council meetings. She only cares about the everyday.
I'm getting infuriated. I don't even live there, and I'm getting infuriated because this is the attitude on so many levels, especially of the administrative state, the bureaucracy, the unelected bureaucrats that is just permeated throughout this country. It's happening, Austin, everywhere, because I can give you instances here in Northern Arizona. I talk to people all across the country on this stuff. It's happening everywhere. And quite frankly, I'm glad there's organizations like yours, like Goldwater Institute, unearthing stuff like this, but it's so rampant and out of control. We got a sustainability department in Flagstaff that went from, you know, one person hawking rain barrels to 11 employees now and 5% of the city's general fund. I mean, these departments just grow. They get power hungry, and they want to have like an empire.
Yeah. It is the unelected bureaucrats that are just running the show in all of these local governments. And, you know, I think that it's really important for citizens to look into their local government. I mean, these are the people that are responsible for protecting individuals' rights, yeah. You know, and for doing things like that. I think it's important to submit public records requests. Try to find out if this is happening in your town and your city, and just try to figure out, you know, what's actually going on behind the scenes. Because for a long time, people didn't know this was happening in Gilbert, but it's been happening for quite a long time.
It has been.
Just under the,
why don't they shut him down? Why don't they shut him down, the manager, the city council?
Well, so the town manager is actually the one who's responsible for creating this department. Oh. And so that kind of tells you all you need to know. But Gilbert has been facing a lot of public outcry for a lot of the ways that they've handled things. The Gilbert Goons situation, for example.
What is that? Gilbert Goons, what is that?
Yeah, so it's a group of high school students and kids, even outside of high school, who are in a gang, basically, this Gilbert Goons gang, just running amok in the town. There was a teenager, Preston Lord, who was murdered, beaten to death in Queen Creek at a Halloween party, and no arrests have been made to that specific case. And they're working on certain arrests right now with other teen violent cases. But the mayor hasn't made more than one public statement about this issue. And it's not necessarily because of, you know, she doesn't want to make that statement. Again, it has to go through this Office of Digital Government. And so you're starting to see the negative consequences, and maybe the unintended consequences, of this department controlling every bit of speech. This town cannot communicate with its citizens. They can't. I mean, it's the biggest story in Gilbert in decades, yeah. And they can't effectively communicate what's going on in the town because of this office.
I don't get it, because Austin, if I was there and I was the mayor or the council member, I would just do it and say, "What are you going to do? You can't." Unless there's something in their city charter. Imagine they have a city charter. I don't see how this department, an administrative department within the city that the town manager, city manager creates, can have any dictates, at least over the elected body, the city council members, the mayor. If they're not out there just raising a stink on their own, they should be, unless it's spelled out in their charter, which I doubt.
Yeah, I know a lot of people at the town council meeting were calling for that. One of the former mayors came up and said, "This department needs to be disbanded. We need to give 15 new police officers and firefighters in here. Give this money to other departments." A lot of people are calling for that.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be shocked, especially there's a gentleman who's running for mayor. He's talking about making that a campaign issue, saying, "If I'm elected, you know, this is not going to be a department anymore." And I think that this is just the first we're hearing of it. It's certainly not the last.
Yeah, it's amazing. No, but I'm just saying, Austin, I'm surprised that if I was a mayor, I'd be like, "I'm going to say whatever I want." What are you going to do? Depose me? I mean, that'd be an interesting case for Goldwater, right?
It's really interesting to see how this is all going to unfold. I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I just, Gilbert has just had a lot of, you know, they've had a lot of infighting on that council. They've had multiple ethics complaints filed amongst each other. They had a mediator come in to try to handle some of their infighting, like I said, between council members and the mayor. So there's a lot of issues that are happening in Gilbert, and, this is just another one of those things.
Yeah.
Gilbert.
Insane. All right. Hey, Austin, appreciate it. Keep us up to date on this one. That's just insane. The whole thing is, my head is spinning, and I think people that just don't even live in, you know, Gilbert are just, their skin's probably crawling too, because this is the last thing we want to come to any of us. I remember when people got upset when the city was looking inside their recycle cans, you know, in Flagstaff, and people were upset just on that level of snooping. And I guess if it's at the curb, they can do that. So I could imagine the Gilbert residents are up in arms about this going on. All right, goldwaterinstitute.org. This is a great organization to support folks, because they're always doing stuff like this. So, Austin, I really appreciate it. We'll talk with you again soon.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. Absolutely. All right, hey, I want to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Got the text line as well. We'll keep an eye on that. Mark Howitt's going to be in here in a few. 877-971-3971. Hey, it's a little snowy out there and it might be a little tough to get out there, but hey, Northern Arizona people are tough, right? Go to the Rodeo Steakhouse in Williams, especially if you're in the Williams area. We're planning a trip this weekend. I always love going on out to Williams, Arizona. Beautiful place, old Route 66. And the Rodeo Steakhouse is a great place to get some, their pepper steak is awesome. Their ribs are awesome as well. Check that out and, make a reservation if it's after 4. I highly advise that. It's right there by the Ramada Inn at 950 North Grand Canyon Boulevard. The Rodeo Steakhouse, check it out. The Rodeo Steakhouse. Hang tight, back in a minute. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
You're listening to the Jeff Orbit Show.
All right, if you're refinancing your home, call my good friend Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. If you got a lot of credit card debt and you have your home and, you know, you've been in there a couple of years, you probably got a lot of equity and maybe you can get a lower payment if you combine that loan. Kim's really been working hard on those because I know a lot of people have gotten hit hard with credit card debt. You're looking for a new home, you're moving up to something else, maybe vacation home, second home, off-grid properties, investment properties as well. Angela and I use Kim Dawson for that. Call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, 928-310-6458, 928-310-6458, or visit her online, novahomeloans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411. Nova Home Loans, NLS 3087, BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. All right, straight from the Office of Digital Management of Flagstaff, Mark Howitt joins me.
Good to be back, Jeff. I was just looking at the crazy weather.
Yeah.
I am convinced climate change.
I'm sure. It would be all snow. Yeah, you know, it's been kind of like that slushy mix throughout the day.
I think it's actually going to, it's been raining and snowing and slushy, and I think we're going to have an ice mess tonight once it freezes on the roads.
And you want me to meet you at Namarco's Pizza at 6?
Crosstown.
Downtown. You couldn't do east side at least
for my east convenience side, but I was more concerned about my own convenience.
Yeah, maybe I'll just bring the mini and have fun in the snow. As long as it's not more than 2 inches, that thing will clear it.
Well, plus New Marcos downtown has the patio.
I'm not going out in the patio.
Well, part of it's covered and they got heaters.
You're not winning me over here. I told Mark he needs a morning group. I get cranky after 6. No, I plan on checking out, getting some great pizza at Namarco's. I'm just going to move them around. This is your spot, Namarco's. Three great locations at Flagstaff, namarcospizza.com. If you want to order, great wings, by the way, too.
So check that downtown out. Downtown is, I've been to all of them. Yeah. I like the downtown spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Parking's a little harder.
Yeah. You got to pay a buck at night.
Well, you get the side street down there with Bennett or whatever.
No, that's right. Free, that's right. So. Okay. Yeah. That buck seems like a lot, you know? I don't know why, but a dollar sometimes.
Flagstaff parking is pretty cheap, even if you have to do the
meter. It's the big ticket items, you know, generally I'm like, okay, it's the little ones.
Yeah.
The little things that get me. So, okay, what are we looking at here? Winter storm warning.
So we're talking 5 to 10 inches tonight. Okay. In Flagstaff, you know, if you're in Munns Park or out near the rim, you always get hit harder.
Munns Park had a good snowpack when I was driving through there Sunday. Flag is from National Weather Service as of a little while ago. 9 to 15 inches Flagstaff.
total for the storm?
That's what they say. Doney Park, 4 to 6. So got kind of that warmer air flowing in. Munns Park, yeah, 13 to 19. I thought I saw Forest Lake somewhere on here.
Oh, they're 15
to 21.
Yeah, Forest Lake.
So I imagine the peaks will get a couple feet of snow out of this. Let's get down to some other Alpine, 11 to 17. Doesn't look like anything. And no, it looks like Prescott's kind of out of that. It's just kind of a warmer storm. I'm not seeing.
Yeah, they're saying
5,500 feet tonight, maybe.
Hanging around 30 degrees in Flagstaff. So if you're in Prescott, Sedona, Verde Valley, you're going to get rain.
Wet, heavy snow expected above 7,000 feet. 24 inches are possible over the Catalina, Rincon, and Pinaleno Mountains. Where the heck is that? Is it southern Arizona?
I guess so. No, that's not us.
Okay. White Mountains, up to 30 inches are possible over the White Mountains.
Ooh.
Wow. Yeah, it might be a good one. You never know around here. Look, you never know.
You don't know.
And later on, if we get to later on, we'll talk about some being prepared and stuff.
So, we always have couch surfers staying at our house. Yeah. We've got a couple people from the Czech Republic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're planning. Yep, right now, as we speak. And they're planning to head out tomorrow morning, I-40 west to Vegas. And I said... That's what I said. I kind of laughed.
That's funny. It won't even be open, probably.
Yeah, the first thing to close is I-40.
They closed. I put this article up at talkwithjeff.com. The county closed Lake Mary Road right there. That's that stretch right above Mormon Lake.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, a couple years ago, we had a lot of snow blowing over there, and now they closed it at 1 p.m.
Today?
Yeah.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And that's what the press release said. And so you have to go around the backside along Mormon Mountain. Through the little village there,
yeah,
and take the long way around. But I have a hard time understanding if they're out there putting barricades up at one and there's like a slushy mix. It's like, and let's wait and see what happens.
Wait.
Yeah. I remember we never used to have the barricades on the highways.
No.
That was 15 years ago.
Well, I do remember though, like I-40 got stuck. Since I've lived here, and it's been 27 years, I remember two different over 100 car pileups on I-40 over by Belmont. You come up over the Arizona Divide, and it usually clouds out.
Yeah.
You get into a fog, and you can't see. And one person crashes, and then they just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, and you get some Yahoo that's, not recognizing because you're coming up high all of a sudden from California, wherever, and they just don't know.
Yeah.
And, it's a chain reaction. So
and even as locals, we're the first big storm of the year, we forget. It's been a year since we drove in snow. We forget. And our Subarus or whatever we're driving go like crazy, but they don't stop any faster.
Your
all-wheel drive does not stop quicker than any other car.
Yeah, I always love when someone's got their four-wheel drive on and they're like tailgating me. I'm like, this is not going to help you stop.
No.
You're going to and you're gonna be coming more, in the
so
back
of
me.
Slide further.
Yeah. All right, let's come back with, let's get her on the phone. Senator Wendy Rogers got an update down there. Something to do with the election changing. They had a date problem or something.
Oh, interesting.
Changing the calendar. There's some kind of
crisis. Is this a Y2K type thing?
Yeah. We have a Y24 issue. Maybe that's what's going on. I think we slipped into the wormhole in Y2K and everything got weird for 24 years since then. Maybe that's what happened. Hey, you want to block all that out? Or if you want to open up those blinds and see the great snow out all your windows in northern Arizona, call the Blind Brothers. Tonight, you probably want to close that up, though, because you lose all that heat.
Jeff, I actually just had a meeting with the city, and they're asking me, what can we do about energy savings?
Yeah.
I told blinds. I mean, you can stack insulation forever in your attic.
Yeah.
But your windows are losing heat like crazy.
Tell them to call the Blind Brothers.
Get insulated blinds.
Their solution would probably be like, we need a new code that nobody gets windows. You can only have so many windows because in 2030, the world's going to end.
Let's not even talk about what's in the pipeline. It'll get me mad. But blinds are a great way to save energy.
Great way to call my good friends at the Blind Brothers. 928-634-2423. 928-634-2423. Mention the Jeff Orvitz Show. You get half off the installation. It's great if you can have them do the installation. Angelina and I are very happy with our blinds. Get more info at theblindbrothers.com. Back in a minute. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
Listening to the Jeff Orvitz Show. This is the Jeff Orvitz Show.
All right, Mark Howitz here with me. Your comments, talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. In a little bit, probably in the 5 o'clock hour, Mark, we'll talk about the four people that the illegals that allegedly beat up the New York Police Department cops. I guess four of them showed up. Yep. They showed up in Arizona.
Oh,
yeah. So it's great that we have such open borders. It's all working out just fine and dandy. Joining us from the Capitol is Senator Wendy Rogers, fixing something to do with the elections and the dates and things like that. And I know she's got to get back to the floor here pretty soon on that issue. But, Senator, how are you doing today?
Busy, Jeff. Great to be on talking to you from the Senate, from my office. Yes, we had a special joint session of the House and Senate election committees this morning. Okay. And we rolled out a Senate version and a House version of the bill that is working with the counties to get the requisite number of days in the general election timeframe and the primary election timeframe to enable overseas military and civilian voters to be able to get their ballots in on time. But we also stipulated a number of other repairs to the election system. And I can sort of touch on those real quickly.
Okay. Well, I have been reading, Senator Rogers, that there was a time crunch, a calendar problem with the election. I guess just for us 30,000 foot people, what was the problem?
Well, the problem emanated from the fact that automatic recounts in statewide elections are triggered when the margin of victory is within half of a percentage point of total votes cast. It did not used to be that way. It was a much smaller count of just 200 votes. So now with a larger ability to have a recount, now more races will have recounts. And so the number of days in 2024 to be able to do that was constrained by an anomaly with 2024. And so what we had to do going forward, the counties came to the state legislature and said, we have this problem. And they came to us months ago. And so we began to work with them. Now what came out of it is basically an agreement among the counties and the legislature. So we're talking 15 counties. Coconino, by the way, was on board. Other counties that have Democrat leadership on board.
Were they advised by the Alliance? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the Arizona Association of Counties, ACO, whose spokesman is Jen Marzen, who's very articulate and well-researched, but typically not in line with most Republican bills on elections, however, was on this bill and in support. So what we did today, and I chaired the committee, we had to limit how many people testified, but we had her testify, Jen Marzen of ACO. We had the county recorder from Pinal County testify. We had the Yavapai County recorder testify. So we had three county experts in the room to say that this was a good bill. Now, the other components of the bill had to do with signature verification. As many of you know, watching some of these videos of how quickly signatures were verified, really in a such milliseconds, everyone who would watch these videos of Maricopa County in specific verify signatures saw that it was just ludicrous the way this was done. So there was a hue and a cry, rightfully so, from the grassroots across the state to say that we needed to codify what Hobbs, when she was Secretary of State, had in her election procedures manual, what the guidelines were, specific guidelines were for verifying signatures. So that was a lot of what the discussion was today.
What's the guidelines? I mean, is there a certain time?
The guidelines are there's a whole set of guidelines, very specific, that speak to how the signatures have to match. Now, I don't want to get too far down in the weeds, but what you have is someone's record with maybe a few different kinds of signatures of that person, and then you have the person's signature on the ballot envelope, and those two have to be compared. If you don't show ID and that is used to identify the voter, the ballot, legitimize the ballot, then that signature verification process has to be done.
Who compares? Is this a volunteer or is this like a county employee?
These are employees, but
these signature experts? I mean,
I mean, this is a whole nother subject.
Yeah, because I mean, that could be tough.
But the guidelines have been imprecise, and now what we want to do is codify what Hobbs herself had in the election procedures manual. And you would think, well, that makes sense. I mean, it's been put out as guidelines in 2020. Why not? So that was a big argument. And then sort of the overarching argument against including that in today's bill was, what does that have to do with ameliorating these date problems? Well, it all has to do with election integrity. And as the people who supported the bill, who typically don't support Republican bills, said, you know, this is a political process. And if we need to assuage the concerns of people out in the public sphere who have lost faith in the integrity of our elections, then so be it. And so this has been an admittedly collaborative process. It's kind of showing how the sausage is made, and it's a good thing. So that plus the cure period, the cure period, i.e. The Jeff Horovitz signature on the envelope doesn't match any of the Jeff Horovitz signatures in your record. So they want to call Jeff Horovitz to say, is this really you? Well, it used to be 5 business days. Well, Jeff Horovitz works Monday through Friday and may not answer his landline if that's the only phone number.
I do. And Friday, I'm cleaning the jet and fueling it up. So that's a busy day
there
for me.
There you go. So what we said was, why don't you have it be 5 calendar days, i.e. Saturday and Sunday are 2 of the 5 days when people might be home and be contactable. And again, you know, we got all kinds of pushback. But what ultimately happened was that we Republicans voted for this bill, and on the House and Senate side. So we had this double, amount of people up on the dais from both the House and Senate in my Senate hearing room, and it was several hours of, you know, back and forth, but we got this done. Now it has to go through the Committee of the Whole, and there will probably be some minor amendments, which is fine, and that's the next meeting I have to go to here in a few minutes.
That'll go up for the vote for in front of the whole Senate, maybe some amendments back to the House. So in short, the dates should get fixed as long as there's not a monkey wrench thrown in there and somebody comes out and opposes it, which only takes one Republican at this point. And then you're also fixing the cure period and the signature verification process.
So Senator Rogers,
and then the governor has to sign it.
And it won't now, yet. Well,
so, but here's the thing. The counties are on board with the legislature, and that's typically not the case. Yeah. So we have arguably two legs of a three-legged stool here in support. So our hope is that the ninth floor, i.e. the governor, and certainly they've been part of these discussions, as you might expect. Certainly they, hopefully she will sign this. Now you're going to ask me, is it in time? Well, if we get a two-thirds, then it is in time for the primary. But moreover, it is more essential to have it be in time, obviously, for the general election. Mm-hmm. And if it passes with just a majority and not two-thirds, it will be in time for the general. And that's really what's driving the train is overseas military voters, for example.
Mark's got a question for you.
I got a question on that 5 days. So did you switch from 5 business days to 5 calendar days? It sounds like it actually makes it shorter.
No, it's 3 business days that way and then 2 weekend days. So it's 5 days, but 2 of those 5 days are weekend days, which helps someone who can only be contacted on the weekend.
Maybe they're working. Your argument is that, hey, they're working on the calendar day or the business day thing, and hey, let's be able to contact them during weekends and stuff where they might not be working. Is that the argument?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So
Mark's never home on the weekends. So he's looking like, hey, I'm out of range. I'm on my bike or something.
Well, it sounds a little tricky to me because the county will then have to have employees working through the weekend to actually make
those phone
calls.
And they're okay with that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so, that's the whole buy-in and good point, because a lot of this is, hey, counties, can you perform? Can you do these things? Do you have the budget? Do you have the manpower? And they do. And so a majority of them said yes. And I would hazard a guess that 13 of the 15, they won't betray who was who, but right. a huge majority of the counties were absolutely on board. And I thought it was interesting when one of the two county recorders, of course, is one of my recorders, because I have Pinal County as well as Coconino, Navajo, and Gila. And so I asked her point blank, how long have you been in the job? What's your assessment of what is required? What's your impression? You know, I asked her some subjective questions. I don't think she was expecting.
Okay. So, Senator Rogers, the bigger question is, as it passed out of your committee, did the final version get voted by the Democrats, yay or nay?
Yeah, did anyone support it on the Dem side?
We're not to that point yet. I'm going to a meeting now to do amendments.
Okay.
And then it'll go through what's called the Committee of the Whole, the COW, COW. That'll be likely tomorrow. And then it could get third read tomorrow. Third read means you vote on it.
Okay.
So
well, I was just talking moving out of your committee itself, the Elections Committee. Did it?
Yeah, did you vote on any of the Elections Committee? Did any Dems support it?
No, but I'm glad you brought that up. No, there were two Democrats, a House Democrat and a Senate Democrat, who might come onto the bill with these amendments.
Okay.
And that's huge.
Okay. Hey, Senator Rogers, appreciate, as always, the updates. Let's get you back on soon for a longer update and spend some time on some other issues down there at the legislature. I know it's going crazy right now, so I do appreciate the time, and we'll get you back on soon.
Okay, I do want to talk about our Defend the Guard bill as soon as we can.
Oh,
just
absolutely.
So you know.
Okay.
That got co-sponsored by every Republican senator in the caucus, which is a first, I believe, and we are leading the way here in Arizona, and it'll say, I mean, I don't know if the governor will sign it, but we are leading the way to say that our National Guardsmen should not be deployed to a war zone unless the United States Congress has declared war. And this became really acutely front and center when these three guardsmen from Alabama were killed in Jordan and some Arizona guardsmen were injured.
Yeah.
And so that is another one of my causes I'm championing.
Okay, definitely. Real soon we'll get you back on. And it means a lot coming from you because obviously you served for many, many years. So thanks for your service, Senator Rogers. Okay, hey, we'll talk with you soon. Best wishes to you.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. You get a rock chip in your windshield. Remember to call Diamond Auto Glass first. It's probably going to happen tonight.
I've got one.
You do?
Well, I got a crack.
You got it? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
I still got to get it fixed.
You need a new windshield, I think, at that point. Diamond Auto Glass can take care of you. Tell them I sent you. If you're a prior customer of theirs, you get, like, if Mark gets a new windshield, for example, and then he gets a rock chip, that's included. It's part of the warranty, just so
know.
And then you don't even need a warrant. Not a warranty. You don't even need an appointment. You just stop in. Takes 10 to 15 minutes. Boom. They do their thing with the little gun. I don't know how that works, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it is. And they get it all fixed up. Diamond Auto Glass, 928-779-4140, 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Hang tight, more to come. Listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there, and on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
If your heater goes out, call my good friends at Gettles High Desert Mechanical, family-owned company. They've been doing this for 30 plus years. They also do plumbing as well. Anywhere in Northern Arizona, Prescott area, Verde Valley, Flagstaff area, call for service on your HVAC system at 928-567-2200. It's exactly what my family does. And they've taken really good care of us. 928-567-2200. Gettles High Desert Mechanical. Check them out online as well. Gettles, GOETTLSHDM.com. That's Gettles, HDM.com. Welcome back. Mark Howitz with me. Probably should have held her over for that guard bill. I'm interested in that one now. It's interesting.
It brings up a lot of legal questions because, you know, the Arizona can't override the feds. And if the feds deploy the National Guard.
Yeah, they can take control of that, right?
Right. Yeah, they take control of the National Guard. Yeah. But Arizona's done bills like this before. And I actually support them where they say, hey, federal government, you're overstepping your bounds.
All the time.
All the time. You know, we passed a bill a number of years ago that, if it's not specifically allocated to the federal government by the Constitution, then it remains to the state. And we passed a bill reminding them of that. Of course, it doesn't actually have any impact, but it's a statement saying, hey.
Yeah, it's a state's right issue. It's not spelled out in the Constitution. You can't do it.
Right. And, of course, they do all the time.
They do it all the time. I actually have four resolutions I want to talk about next hour, Mark. Remember that Fed land grab around the Grand Canyon? So the Republican, the Republicans have said, hey, wait a second, there needs to be we need to change this process. It's totally non-binding, but they're trying to pass resolutions to say, hey, we need to change this. You can't just come in under the Antiquities Act and say, hey, now this is all off limits all of a sudden, the federal government.
Right.
You know, and state land that cattle ranchers are using, et cetera, is just gone. So I want to hit on that
because
it becomes too much federal power.
Yeah, they use monuments and other designations to basically take away our land rights.
Yep, exactly. You want to hit on some preparedness stuff next hour.
I do.
With the snow coming.
Snow's coming. So, snow's here. You know, I was just looking at my favorite weather report, and this is not an ad. You know, Arizona Snow Bowl.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Guess what the tickets are this Saturday.
Oh, a lot.
A lot.
Yeah, yeah. They have that system now, that progressive type system that always changes the rates.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So it's...
We shouldn't even say.
Well, okay. So Thursday, $75.
Yeah, that's good.
Friday, $219.
Yeah, and then it goes up from there.
Saturday, $249.
Yeah, because people have already bought tickets, so the remaining ones go at a higher. That's what the hotels do nowadays. You know,
yeah. Everybody does it.
The more rooms that go up, and I mean, it's
that's the free market.
It's the free market. It's kind of capitalism at work there, and it's like tomorrow. I'm kind of bummed out because I was actually supposed to go. They do the ski day for the high school. Snowball does the thing, and it's really great. They do this. And let the kids come ski for free, rentals and all that. And I was one of the parent volunteers, but it's canceled. No, they already canceled the school. I don't know if the public schools did, Flag Christian canceled.
Canceled
so
tomorrow.
I had moved things around for the show, and now, I'll be shoveling instead. Okay, Mark, let's hit on all that next hour. Plus, some evidence that homeschooling and private schools may be getting higher scores. So we'll hit on that.
That's right.
Big shock there. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. More to come. Back in just a minute. Thanks for listening to the Jeff Orvid Show. Portions of this show may be pre-recorded. And remember, the information provided on the show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and his guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. This portion of the show is brought to you by Eric and Lisa Boatner at Allstate Agency in Flagstaff.
This is the Jeff Orvid Show.
All right, welcome back. Hour 2 of the show. Mark Howitz still here with me, and snowy, wet, northern Arizona day. Arizona day. This thing's hitting everywhere. So
yeah,
that's
it's
good.
A big storm. I talked to a friend in California. He was up in San Jose, and obviously L.A. got hit.
Yeah.
But he's way up in San Jose, and he said it was like a hurricane. They lost power for 15 hours.
Mm, be prepared.
Probably because they had solar power and wind power.
Yeah, it's been cloudy a lot lately, too, and it was just funny yesterday. We were picking on how all of a sudden they were measuring moisture and rainfall totals in thousands, trillions of gallons of rain.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is new. I think they're trying. I think it's a CIA PSYOP to dilute trillion. Because, you know, we have trillions in debt and trillions of this. So it's like, yeah, trillion's not really that big anymore, you know? What are you thinking?
So here's the thing. Everybody knows solar power doesn't really work when it's raining, cloudy, snowing, whatever.
Go figure.
But wind power does not work when it's windy. Now, that sounds crazy.
Wind power does not work when it's windy.
Yeah, windmills, these giant windmills, the giant white things you see cluttering our horizon, they are only designed to work with low winds. Once the winds get high.
Yeah, they fly off.
They turn the windmill perpendicular to the winds and turn it off.
Yeah, because it'd just be going too crazy.
Too crazy.
Yeah, I could see that.
So high winds don't help your wind power. You lose wind power during high winds, storms. Your solar power is gone. All the alternative energy is gone, except for the dams. They open the dams because they're expecting more moisture coming in.
Yeah, I could see that. These people just, they want to destroy everything. I don't mind, alternative energy, but it needs to be in conjunction.
They are trying to save the world.
They are trying to save the world. Did you hear my interview yesterday with the guy from Power of the Future?
Back to the Future?
Power of the Future. And anyway, we're talking about just how the U.S. is now the number one oil producer in the world. Production-wise, he was saying, in spite of the Biden regulations and all that, he said they're still be able to crank this stuff out. So it is amazing. The resources we have in this country are phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, they are.
They are.
We talk about, Trump took us to energy independence, which is not a hard thing to do. Biden could get us there. You just stop exporting. Because we actually do two things. We export our own oil, and then
it's a world market.
Import other people's oil.
It's a world market. I don't know what he said it was 13 million barrels a day being produced. We do consume more than that. I can't remember what the number is, 18 or 19 or whatever.
Yeah.
If we could figure out a way, and I think during efficiencies, we are getting better, as far as miles per gallon and all that. And fine, if you throw in a few electric cars, okay. It's fine, but don't expect to be delivering the farm products and tractors tilling up the fields with electric cars. I mean, don't be for real here. Okay, we got to get to some stuff here. So I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. If you missed Senator Wendy Rogers last hour, she was on the program. If you missed, I had from the Goldwater Institute talking about that crazy Gilbert thing with the office of – they're like an Orwellian group that was spying on their employees, like their personal accounts. Well worth listening to that interview as well. Go to talkwithjeff.com. If you're selling your home in the Flagstaff area, do what so many people have done and call Kelly Broaddus with the Broaddus Properties Group. When Henry and his wife were ready to sell their home in Flagstaff, they gave Kelly a call and they were just immediately impressed. And she says that Kelly Broaddus is personable, easy to work with, and very, very thorough. Best advice selling his home. And, puts a lot into it as well. I've told you about this a lot. She puts a lot of effort, a lot of advertising into it, brings professionals to make sure you get the best advice, make sure that you get the top dollar and get this home sold as quickly as possible because you want to move on. So call Kelly Broaddus with the Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by EXP, 888-446-5602, 888-446-5602, or go get an instant valuation of your home and get more information about Kelly Broaddus and her great team, whether you're buying or selling, NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. That's NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. A couple updates here. So, Nevada today?
Nevada primary is today.
Okay. You confused me on this during the break.
This is great. So, Nevada is required by law to have a primary, although they typically have a caucus. So, on Tuesday, today, they're having the primary. Okay. On Thursday, they're going to have their caucus. Here's the big catch. Today, voters can go and vote for Nikki Haley. Trump is not on the primary ballot in Nevada.
Okay.
Thursday, Trump is on the ballot for the caucus. Nikki Haley is not.
Who came up with this genius idea? Is it different counties or something, or is it like the whole state?
It's a mix of state law versus party policy, and it's a real mess. The bottom line is Trump will get all of Nevada's delegates on Thursday, in spite of Nikki Haley winning the primary tonight.
Haley can claim a win, finally.
Yes, she can claim a win, but it's a win of zero delegates.
Is Biden on there?
The Democrats do a different thing.
They do a different thing. So, it's so weird. Can we just have the election next week and get this over with? Trump versus Biden. Don't let Michelle Obama slip in there.
Okay.
Straight up, Trump, Biden, let's vote. Let's do it next week.
So I did actually look up that issue. The issue of can they replace Biden at the last second? So here's what happens. If Biden steps out before the Democrat convention, when they get all the delegates together to vote who their nominee is going to be, if he steps out beforehand, then all, whatever it is, 3,000, 4,000 delegates will vote for whoever they want.
Okay, and it's chaos.
Chaos. You're gonna have a, you know,
that'd be fun to watch.
A Newsom, an Obama, whoever.
Yeah,
all these people are gonna show up because you don't have to actually have been in any of the primaries previously. They can vote for whoever, and it's gonna be they'll have a vote, and then they'll take the top contenders and a revote. You know, and a revote.
Yeah,
that's if Biden drops out before the convention.
Okay,
if he drops out after the Democrat convention, then the 435 Democrat inside members, I forget what they call them, will decide.
The superdelegates?
No, it's not the superdelegates. Okay. There's a different word for it. But
okay.
It's basically...
The party insiders.
The party insiders, the 435.
They get to pick who they want.
They will pick who they want.
Okay, so go ahead.
Either way, my prediction is someone's going to get picked besides Biden. Either Biden's going to drop out before the hand, or he's going to drop out after. And most.
What
likely,
if you go to a convention and he gets up there to accept and say, hey, thanks, but... No, thanks. Then the inside people would pick at that point.
Yeah, my guess is, knowing how the Democrats work, I suspect that Biden will drop out after the convention so that the real party hardcore insiders will get to choose.
I hope America's waking up. I mean, wasn't he just talking to the dead French president?
Yes.
It's like the guy's been dead for like decades or something. Yeah, and he's
28
he's,
years.
I mean, he's eight. What is he? How old is he?
81.
81. He's talking to people that aren't even there anymore.
Yeah,
this is not good.
My folks are 80. They just turned 80 the last couple months.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're typical 80-year-olds.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've lived a good life. They're in their golden years. And they're staying at home doing what 80-year-olds should do, just chilling out.
Yeah.
Not trying to run a country.
Which the president should never run the country. We should have never been in this position. But
it's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Okay, so crazy stuff there. Again, let's take off next Saturday, national holiday, and everybody goes vote. Just get it over with. Because what scares me is they pick Michelle Obama, and there's enough low information voters in this country that are going to say, oh, she's so great. Wow. Yeah. Because you could argue we've had 8 years of Obama, then four more with Biden.
Jeff, there's enough low-information voters in this country that when the Obama last name appears first, when it's Obama, comma, Michelle,
yeah,
they're going to assume it's Barack. They're going to be like, Obama.
Third term. It would be the third term.
I have no idea that's illegal.
And they would definitely vote for Taylor Swift, too. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay, now on to Colorado.
Colorado.
What's going on there?
Okay, so the Trump case goes before the U.S. Supreme Court Thursday.
Is that this Thursday?
This Thursday.
Okay.
The Supreme Court will decide whether he would be disqualified from the ballot based on the 14th Amendment, Section 3, which talks about any office holder but doesn't specifically mention the president. So the Supreme Court will have to decide, does that apply to anybody elected at any time? And I think it is applicable to anybody because the purpose of it was so that the Confederate leaders during the Civil War could not come into office and take over being senators, representatives, or even president. They didn't want the Confederates.
After the Civil War.
After the Civil War. That's where this grew out of.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to really be the question. The Supreme Court's really going to have to decide, was he guilty of insurrection, or does that have to be proven first, or that's going to be the
where the case is going to be resolved. Proven? I mean, there's not even a...
So here's the thing. With the Civil War people, no, it did not have to be proven first. If you were just part of the
Civil
War.
Yeah, but there was a declared civil, like you were somebody from South Carolina, and you actively participated in the Civil War.
Right.
You know, they declared a civil war. They were actually at war. This was, you still have to prove that Trump had anything to do with an insurrection.
Well, so
I think it's totally different.
It's a little bit different. So take, for example, the governor of South Carolina.
Okay.
He sided with the Civil War side. He would be disqualified from office.
Yeah, that's pretty clear.
Pretty clear.
After Civil War, yeah.
So the question is really going to revolve around, was Trump involved in insurrection or not?
Okay, so they are deciding on that, or are they going to say that hasn't been tried or whatever?
Right.
And we're punting this back. He should be on the ballot in Colorado because you guys haven't litigated this or whatever.
If they do a good... Who knows how the Supreme Court is always a mystery, how they say things.
Yeah.
They should be saying... Clearly, you actually have to be tried and found guilty of insurrection, or no, you just have to look like you had insurrection.
This is going to be interesting.
It's going to be very interesting. Yeah. And Trump's tried to make some other claims, but none of those are really going to hold water before the Supreme Court. It's really going to come down to this issue of insurrection.
Okay. How quickly did they act? Because a lot of times they're hearing it Thursday.
They're hearing it
See,
Thursday.
They hear things a lot of times, and then it's like months later. They don't have months. Is this got to be like an expedited thing? What's
it's
the anticipation?
It's going to have to be because, yeah, a lot of times they'll decide, and the decision won't come out for 6 months.
Yeah.
Like the Dobbs decision or whatever. Yeah. It takes. They just do that because they come to a decision, then they write out their decision, then they finally
think about it. Yeah. And it's like a big mystery. They like disappear for a while. You don't know where they are.
Yeah, they're writing up.
They're sitting on some island somewhere typing up stuff.
Thinking exactly.
Right? Beach.
So the question is, will Trump be on the Colorado ballot? And I did not get to do the deep dive on this. It looks like he will actually appear on the ballot, from what I can understand, but he may be disqualified from the ballot.
When's the primary? Is that primary?
Yes, yeah, primary March 5th, presidential primary.
So if they're like Arizona, and I don't know, this is two guys, like, we're not lawyers, and we're doing a very shallow dive on this. But yep. if Colorado is like Arizona, and the primary is coming up a month from today, they would have had the ballots already getting mailed out. If they're doing mail-in ballots, which I'm sure they are in Colorado.
So back in November, a judge did decide in Colorado that Trump's name would appear there on
okay,
the ballot.
But does it count?
But does it count?
That's okay.
And so we'll see with that.
Yeah, this is just have the election next Saturday.
And by the way, Biden did win South Carolina in the Democrat primary.
Yeah, you know, I was laughing at that because a lot of the leftist media were like, overwhelming victory. It's like, there was like 4% turnout or something.
Super
it was
low
something
turnout.
Ridiculous. It's so, like, yeah, overwhelming.
You know, the Communist News Network, I mean, CNN, is actually predicting that Trump will clearly win in November in a Trump versus Biden.
They're predicting that.
Very clearly, yeah.
Yeah.
They're saying, you know, I could pull up the numbers.
Look at the guy's talking to dead people at this point.
Biden's
We've got inflation.
He's got severe dementia.
We're in wars all over the place. Mark, I've watched this for 24 years now, since 2000, since before that, but let's just say 24 years, we've just been watching endless wars going on in this country around the world.
Yep.
And nothing ever changes. It is like 1984. Now we're at battle with this person. Last week they were our friends, and it just Eurasia and whatever, you know, the terms they use in 1984. I've seen this. I know there's probably people listening that maybe they weren't paying attention in 2001 or maybe they weren't even born. I don't know. Right? This has been going on for 24 years or more, really since 1990, since the fall of communism. We've been in this state of craziness.
Mm-hmm.
My point of view, at least.
Here's the CNN conclusion.
Okay. CNN conclusion. This is
concluded. Woo. The foregone conclusion.
Get that.
Donald Trump, 272 of the Electoral College. Joe Biden, 225. So we're talking almost a 50-50 delegate spread.
I wouldn't take this to the bank, folks.
I wouldn't, but
Biden should not win. There should be no way.
The only way Biden wins is if Trump loses. And what I mean by that is only Trump with his mouth could lose to Biden. You could put up anybody.
The former
would beat Biden.
Dead French president.
All they'd have to do is just be quiet.
Yeah.
All you have to do to beat Biden is do what Biden did in the last election.
Not show up.
Avoid interviews.
Well, Trump just challenged Biden to a debate.
He did that last time. Biden's not going to show up.
Neither one of them
Biden
are
Biden cannot even do a press conference. There's no way he can do a debate.
God, it's so bad. It's so bad. Okay, we'll see what happens there. Interesting stuff. Did you see this one, Mark? I mentioned this in the beginning of the show. So you have and here's another thing, why Biden should not be president, why he should clearly lose. We have an invasion going on. Now, you and I have disagreed a little bit in the past couple months over key issues in this election that people actually care about.
Yep.
And you said the border is just not one of those. Are you changing your mind though? Because I think it's becoming. I think more and more people are like, this stinks. I'm getting pissed. You know, the guy giving the finger in New York City as he's released zero bail after allegedly beating up, being in a gang of whatever – half dozen people beat up a cop.
For all that, I guarantee you that no one in Manhattan and no one in New York State is not going to turn red. It's going to be Democrat.
Oh, no,
they're going to vote Democrat. They say, look what the Democrats have done. It's horrible. We're still going to vote for
them. I agree with that, but let's talk swing states that are watching this happen. And they're like
Arizona.
They're looking at this guy who's here in this country illegally. So here's what happened. So you had a group of illegals.
Migrants seeking asylum.
Illegals. It's funny because they were
undocumented.
I was watching a New York City news report on this, and they kept saying a group of migrants, they're illegal. They're here illegals. Illegal migrants, right?
Seeking
they're here
asylum.
Illegally. Yeah. They cite millions of people seeking asylum, mostly males between the age of like 18 and 28 with no family, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Shouldn't you be back in your country trying to make that place better?
No, the drug cartels will get them. They have to come here, Jeff.
Okay. Anyway, so a group You kill. Don't make me laugh. I'll cough. A group of illegals attack two New York police officers, right? Times Square, right
on
there.
Video. Yep.
Right there on video. It's clear as day. And they arrested five of them. No, six of them.
Six of them.
They were charged with felonies. One still locked up. Five walked out. $0 bail. Zero bail.
Four on their own reconnaissance. One has to, I don't know if he has to wear bracelets. He has to stay around.
Yeah, whatever.
Four are just out.
Yeah, four get out. And one guy's walking by the cameras giving a finger. Two fingers.
Double fingers.
Double fingers.
Yep.
Right? And to me, that is the poster of what's gone wrong in America. And that's the poli- You could put a picture of like cinema coming up with that bad border deal over the weekend. You could put her head on that. She's basically giving a finger to the American people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a sign, and I think it's a turning point. People are so fed up. Now, the DA, Alvin Bragg, he let him go, right? Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. I had to let him go. Yeah, right. If I did that, you and I did that in Times Square, you think we'd be let go?
No.
Apparently,
they wouldn't even bring us to trial. You would just be stuck somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You just look at the January 6th people.
Yeah, years.
Not even charged.
Yeah, I thought that was against the Constitution, but here we are. Something about a speedy trial. I remember reading that. Apparently, the four of this five allegedly, apparently, wound up in Phoenix.
In Phoenix.
Greyhound, and they got arrested at Greyhound bus station. I don't know under what. It's still, this just happened. So, still information coming out. I don't know for sure, but one of those pictures looks like Finger Guy.
Yeah.
It does. And so here we are just a couple days later. These illegals who beat up two cops in New York City, they're in Arizona.
Yeah.
This has got to stop. And the age of these people, there's seriously so many young males, single.
Yep.
This is so bad. And I think it's going to.
If you're really paying
attention. I think it's going to resonate.
Yes. The border's an issue if you're really paying attention. But the average person gets up, they go to their job, they make a paycheck, they go home and watch Netflix. And as long as they got their basketball game and their Netflix, they just don't care. Until their own house gets broken into or one of their own relatives gets hurt, they just don't care. What they want is their welfare check, their food stamps, their Section 8 housing, their government handout, their pandemic dollars.
I hope you're wrong. All right, love to hear from you. Is Mark wrong or is he right on that people in America are asleep? And until it affects them, if the economy totally hit the toilet, then things would be different because, people are coming and taking my jobs, you know, then it might be different. But your thoughts, talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. All right, got a new dump trailer here recently. You know about that. I got a lot of work to do. I got to get going, get this thing. The paint is barely scratched on it, Mark.
You need to scratch. If your dump trailer has good pristine paint on it, you are not getting enough use.
I'm not dumping enough. I'm going to get to work though, but I went out to American Trailer Company north of Flagstaff. It's right there by Timberline. Huge stock of different flatbed trailers, cargo trailers, dump trailers as well. Competitive pricing. You don't need to go down to Phoenix. You get about the same price, maybe even lower than Phoenix. You don't have to pay city sales tax. You got a veteran owned company. You got very high quality trailers. I can attest to that because I got one of them. I'll get you some videos on this thing pretty soon once I get to
work
a little bit more. Yeah. If I get,
it's his trophy trailer.
Right now it's all shiny. It's slippery though when you get snow on there.
Oh yeah.
It's like, I got to scuff that thing up better. Anyway, American Trailer Company, go check out their great inventory up at AmericanTrailerAZ.com. That's AmericanTrailerAZ.com. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
You're listening to The Jeff Orbit Show.
If your smartphone's broken, call up my good friends or stop on by Just Wireless right there on the west side of Flagstaff, right as I-17 comes in, hits Milton Avenue. Just Wireless has a great line of refurbished phones, new to you. So, you know, it's good for the environment. It's good for your bottom line as well. If your phone's broken, they can fix your charging port. They can also take care of those old batteries. If you're stepping outside in the cold and the thing drains in about 3 seconds, time for a new battery, plus cracked screens. Stop on by Just Wireless. Get more information at Just Wireless AZ. Mark Couch here with me. I saw the switch gears a little bit here. A homeschooler won the spelling bee.
That's
in Coconino County.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool because it's up against public schools, charter schools, private schools.
Yep.
So that's good because obviously they're learning. At least the case of that one person, right?
Yeah, no, I think homeschoolers, I did a lot of research last couple of days on homeschoolers, private schoolers, if their standardized test scores are better, worse, the same as public school kids and, you know, acceptance to college, all these sort of things. So the bottom line is, yes, homeschoolers do score better on the SAT, on the ACT standardized test than public school kids.
That's not surprising.
No surprising. Yeah. You know, one surprise is that Arizona scores better than Massachusetts on standardized tests.
Well, that's because we spend a lot more money on students.
And clearly, yeah.
Yeah, no, at least double.
Massachusetts is the number one spender on education in the country. And
what?
They've got a strike right now, teacher strike, wanting more money.
Oh, that's crazy, because I thought when you spent more money, you got better results.
No. It turns out you don't.
And I thought that if your kid was homeschooled, they were going to, you know, just be total failures and never integrate into society.
Surprisingly, education is one of those few areas where it's the opposite. You don't get what you pay for.
You know, I feel a lot like that lately. Like, I'm paying for things and I don't get. I'm just generally getting more and more dissatisfied.
Right.
With stuff.
Stuff.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, that's good. So, it's doing better in the scores. And that's obviously the broke public schools aren't working anymore. So, let's get them out of there.
And then, you know, especially if you come up with all kinds of arguments like, well, we have to take the learning disabled kids. Well,
yeah.
A lot of dyslexic kids and other learning troubled kids are at home homeschooling because the parents have given up on the
public school. They've given up on, it's like, I'm done. You're not fixing. All right. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Hey, Glenn Lease at WT Wealth Management has done a great job of working with me, not only on this show, but, you know, personally when it comes to my portfolio. And, he really breaks things down and boils it down in kind of plain speak, not, you know, $5,000 suit, Wall Street kind of talk.
Yeah, he's a down-to-earth guy.
He's a down-to-earth guy. I think he shares a lot of the same, I can say for me, maybe for you as well, values. He's been watching this woke stuff as well. Their woke mitigation portfolio is really cool, which he may not even need that soon because that's kind of slowly eroding away with pressure from all this.
Corporate America's realizing we don't like woke.
I'm glad. Hey, why don't you call Glenn, see if he shares the same values that you do, have him review your portfolio. It ain't going to cost you nothing, so get that second set of eyes there. Glenn Lease at WT Wealth Management, 928-225-2474, 928-225-2474. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
Listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show. This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Still that winter storm warning. Still snow coming down.
Still snow coming. Yeah.
And it's set up to 15 inches maybe.
Through the whole storm through Saturday.
We'll see. Oh, through Saturday?
Yeah, and they're saying now storm through Saturday, kind of drifting out on Saturday. A lot of that depends on winds. You know, we've seen these storms in northern Arizona where they blow by and then the wind switches directions and they come back and hit us again. So you never know.
Yeah.
It's climate change. It's real. It's happening today, right now.
As you're witnessing it. Hey, but witness some great tacos at Sportsman's Bar and Grill because it is Taco Tuesday. So get on, if you have that rear-wheel drive sedan, you just throw some sandbags in there. I mean,
well, you come down suck from the up. Top. Come down from Cedar Hill. That coast into the parking lot.
There's that one road, Forest and Flat. It's like, I think they close it sometimes now because it's like
it's so steep.
45 degree angle. I don't know what grade that is or whatever. But
and the poor people that live across the end of it with the fence.
There's like cars just piled up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. Anyway, Sportsman's Bar and Grill, Taco Tuesday. Tomorrow's Wing Wednesday. Don't forget about that all day long. Half price wings. He's open no matter what. He's like, I'm making the wings. And then tomorrow will be like a blizzard, and he'll be like, yeah, I'm closing.
They use the hot sauce to actually melt the ice on the sidewalks.
Head on up to Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Angela sent me a picture of our bank. They closed at, they were closed by like 2. It said closed because, and they just have a blank space to add in there now, weather. And they were all gone. It wasn't even snowing yet.
It's like a whiteout board. Just erase that excuse and
I'm going to steal a line from Saturday Night Live from the 80s. bunch of girly men.
So you know that when I grew up, the post office was like, we deliver the mail, rain, snow, or shine.
Yeah.
And then a couple of, like that last, you know, the last big winter we had last year, our mail was not showing up for days. And so I got on and looked up and like, well, that's actually not our motto. We stay home when it's bad weather.
That's no longer our motto. I don't blame it with those old crappy Jeeps that don't. Oh, you know, yeah. It's like the rear wheel, one wheel
they're
spinning.
Not, yeah, they're not driving mules you know? Anymore.
I have neighbors that put out the, they just get a 5-gallon bucket and they stick the mailbox out further from the snow pile. Because, yeah. You know, sometimes it's hard to get that. Especially this storm's going to be that wet snow.
Yep.
And left my tractor in Camp Verde. And it wasn't a good decision. Yeah, I know. I'm going to hit you up. You got one sitting somewhere, don't you?
In Sedona.
No, you're in the same boat. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. Okay. So, what's going on in Israel and Biden?
Okay.
So
Israel, it's still a mess. You know, for those of you who have not been keeping up, there's still roughly 130 some hostages held by the Muslims, by Hamas. And they're not sure how many are still alive. They know at least 4 have died. And there may be more that have died in captivity.
And in living hell.
Yeah.
And at this point, yeah.
And they're trying to constantly, you know, they're constantly shuttling these hostages from place to place, moving them further south, because the Israeli army started basically in the north of Gaza and has been clearing things, moving south, and they're getting into the south of the Gaza Strip now. And, you know, originally they had the hostages in hospitals, not taking care of them, hiding them in hospitals, yeah. Underground tunnels, all over the place. Okay, so Gaza's still a mess. The Israeli war is ongoing there. There's the Israeli bills held up in the government, trying to tie that with Ukraine and the border bill, and it's like...
I just up and down vote on these things individually, yeah,
the Republicans
please.
In the House are saying, hey, here, we're going to throw a bill at you just for Israel. Vote on it or don't.
Yeah, just all of it. Just let it stand on its own. Let it stand on its own merit. It's frustrating. It's so frustrating.
Okay, so that's the Gaza Strip. And then you also have the West Bank, which is the western side of the Jordan River in Israel. And there's been some uprisings there, and some Palestinian gunmen attacked some Israelis. The citizens retaliated. And so Biden is now calling for, I don't want to say censuring, but what do you call it when he takes, basically freezes their accounts, assets.
Yeah. Sanctions
against these Israeli settlers who were, they would claim, trying to defend themselves and fight back. At any rate, what does America have to do to that? Israel has their own set of laws, and they are addressing these people. Mm-hmm. We don't go into and say, hey, we're going to censure criminals.
Sanction
criminals in Canada or France or Great Britain. We know these countries have their own rules and they can take care of their own citizens breaking the law or not. And so can Israel. And Biden has taken it upon himself to impose sanctions as though he's the court for another country.
They can't help themselves. Look, here's the problem with the sanctions when you're the reserve currency. And I disagree with Russia and Ukraine. Go back to that.
Yep.
But we use the dollar. We've weaponized the dollar around the world. And when you're a reserve currency, you kind of want that currency to be neutral because, you know, people will start to block together, join together, as we're seeing with the BRICS. It may take decades, but the writing's really on the wall that we're going to lose a ton of power because if you were a country that is on the naughty list, and we could argue Russia's obviously on the naughty list, Iran is on the naughty list, China. But when you start combining all the naughty list and it becomes a greater number. A
couple billion people.
Yeah, and countries that have vast resources, you know, and they start saying, yeah, I think we're good. You don't have the power anymore. So I think we have used, and I'll go back to the entering the wormhole and, you know, Y2K or something for 24 years, 35 years, you could argue even further. We've been using the sanctions way too loosely, and it's getting more and more loose, more and more easy. And I don't think it's going to turn out good for us in the long run for short time, you know, gains, shall we say.
Yeah, and the hypocrisy is just ridiculous with Biden. I mean, here he took, both in his administration and the previous Obama administration, billions of dollars and gave them to Iran.
Gave them to Iran. Yeah.
And, you know, Obama was saying, well, it's Iranian money. Well, so what? In World War II, should the Americans have given the Nazis back money? No, you use every weapon possible to fight your enemy. Use sanctions.
But it's not even working for Iran anymore, though, because their oil productions. I was talking with, it was Larry Barron's, by the way. I couldn't remember his name from Power
of
the
Future. Well, there's faster oil coming out of Iran.
Pumping oil like crazy over there. And you know, so it's not having the impact that it once had. The power is definitely not there like it used to be.
No, and Trump actually, during his presidency, really was crippling Iran through heavy, heavy sanctions. He brought the nation to severe poverty. They're doing good again. And from what I've heard, Biden is basically backdoor buying, facilitating the sale of Iranian oil. Mm. You know, you can say you have a sanction one-to-one, but then you can just route it through other countries. And
They're not dumping the oil. They're pumping the oil and they're selling it somewhere.
Right.
Right.
They're not just dumping it.
Same thing with Russia. Russia's got a pretty big border with China. I'm sure the oil's slipping right on through, and they're still going. You know, they're still going. Okay, so.
And the big problem with Iran is obviously they're the funders. You know, they're behind pretty much. If there's a terrorist attack anywhere near Iran within 800,000 miles, it's funded by Iran. You know, whether it be in Syria with Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis, whoever, Iran is behind all of it. Even in Ukraine, Iran is supplying drones to Russia to attack the Ukrainians. Iran is out of control.
I just wish, though, that any of these things that come before Congress, first of all, I'm tired of any presidents operating on just, I can do whatever I want. We're basically, we start wars all over the place and they don't go through Congress. You need to bring that back to Congress. And that, I guess that genie is so long out of the bottle at this point, because look what happens. And the sad thing is American people don't even notice anymore.
Yeah.
They notice Taylor Swift more than, oh, we've got fighter jets bombing. And there may be just cause, but bring it before Congress and say, hey, here's the issue.
Yep.
And here's the evidence. Here's the compelling reason why this should happen. And are the American people behind this?
Okay, so there's an emergency powers concept. You know, the Houthis attack us. We don't have time to go to Congress to do a retaliation.
Okay.
But you need to have something like a 100-day clause. Like, once you get into a conflict with a country, whether it be Afghanistan, Iraq, after 100 days, we need a declaration of war.
Look, it's like during COVID with the emergency powers of mayors and governors. It's like, okay, I get it. I get the train wreck that was COVID, but the literal train wreck that could happen and a mayor has to act.
Yep.
But we're talking a couple of days here. You know, in a case of something where our soldiers got killed in Jordan, okay, yeah, there's obviously a period where you can react, but then at some point you have to go before.
Yes, exactly.
The Congress and say, hey, I need authorization to continue here, to expand.
Yeah, we saw that.
We're not doing that anymore.
Locally in Northern Arizona, you had Mayor Coral Evans leave, and her emergency power declaration that she made.
He just kept going.
Stuck through the next mayor.
Yeah, it's unreal.
And thankfully, Arizona has since passed a law saying you can only use emergency powers for so long, and then you have to go to the legislature. You have to do whatever. We need that at the federal level. Okay, yes, the president needs to, you know, strike the Houthis, whoever. Give me a number of days, 50, 100, 150, even a year, and then we're done. You have to have declaration of war or you pull out. And, you know, Afghanistan, how long were we there? You know, Iraq.
All I can envision is that illegal in New York with his middle fingers up, and that there's so many. And going back to my opening interview today with Goldwater Institute, with the Gilbert, you know,
spying.
Orwellian spy media thing that's going on, it's bureaucrats out of control. It's administrative state out of control. Yeah. I don't know how we get all that genie back in the bottle at this point, to be honest with you.
You've got to start firing people. I mean,
I know, but Trump talked about that. Yeah. And even if he gets in, can you fire these people? Are they going to be able to fire these people?
So I looked at the statistics once of voting in DC, you know, how many vote Republican, how many vote Democrat. It's something like 97%, 97%. And you can fact check me on this one in DC vote Democrat.
It's all bureaucrats.
Yeah. You literally would have to empty DC of all but 3% of the people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all people working in cubicle heaven there.
Yep.
You know, thinking stuff up. That's what we're looking at. Did you see this one? So Arizona Republicans is calling for reversal of the land grab. So, you know, you had the, what they call ancestral footprints of the Grand Canyon National Monument that was created just outside, to the east of Grand Canyon National Park, a vast area. It was 1 million acres or something. Okay. And Biden just came in and said, Antiquities Act, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
This is now a monument, which makes it tighter regulations. Ranchers were upset, this and that.
Yep.
Basically did it really quick without little.
You can restrict mining, uranium mining,
all this sort of thing. All that stuff. So there's four, I guess they're called memorials. I called them resolutions earlier. Urging Congress to change how they can do this, that they have to, you know, the states have to agree. They have to involve the legislatures, this and that. So it's nothing. It's non-binding. Nothing's going to happen.
It's a letter that the Arizona legislature mails to D.C. and it gets put through the shredder and recycled.
You're
D.C. politicians.
Yeah, they're going to. I don't know if they're shredded.
It might be stored in
I appreciate them doing it, though, because, I mean, you've got the feds that just, here we are in Arizona, we have such little amount of private land.
Yes.
It's like 16, 18%, something like that.
Yeah, statewide, it's 20%. I mean, it's lower. You know, Northern Arizona is really bad.
Yeah.
And statewide, it's bad overall.
Yeah.
But, you know, in Flagstaff, I looked this up, Coconino County, I think, was 84%.
Well, I believe it. I mean,
government lands.
Most people in Coconino County, the second largest geographic county in the nation,
yep.
I did the numbers recently. It's like 2/3 live just in the Flagstaff area.
Right.
And then the rest are spread out over that vast area. But Flagstaff can't get any more land because it's all surrounded by government land.
Yeah. You've got the Grand Canyon on one side, the Navajo Nation on the other side.
Yeah. National Park,
BLM land, state trust land is another thing.
So, nothing's going to change on housing costs or anything like that if you can't open up land and never going to open up land.
It's a supply and demand curve.
Yeah, but it's a government-created supply shortage.
Government-created supply shortage. Yeah.
Which we might all say, hey, I really like that because I like the largest contiguous ponderosa national forest in the world.
Yep.
And a lot of people are like, I really want that to remain as is. Like
why are
that,
we even talking about? I've got a house, you've got a house. Let's not even talk about houses.
Yeah,
Forget the people that don't have houses. We've got ours. Keep the rest of the forest so I can enjoy it, okay?
Yeah, well, you and I argue about this, we're arguing contrary to our personal gain, I guess you should say, because we own real estate. We have rental properties.
Yep.
It's like you do nothing, but they blame it on the private sector. So the Ocasio-Cortezes and all the socialists, right? They blame the greedy landlords or the greedy property owners. But who's the greedy property owner in this in this state? It's the government.
Governments.
You're just thanks, I guess. Thanks for artificially raising the price up a lot more than it actually is. So we're arguing contrary, to our interests, I guess you should say.
Yeah, it doesn't really benefit me.
Because I would like people, I'd like my kids to be able to buy a house here someday.
But not your kids, but just my kids.
Yeah, I'd like other people to be able to, I'd like to be able to get help, like help wanted. You can't even do that anymore because people can't afford to live here.
Katie Hobbs has a plan. It's going to work. Our governor, our Democrat governor, Katie Hobbs, has a housing plan. Yeah. It's going to be fixed. End of this year, there'll be plenty of housing. No problem.
People, it's like cinema flying around in jets. She hasn't worked in the private sector in how long? Hobbs, they've all been in legislation. They're just all government people. They've been disconnected from the private sector. This is why I ordered some more physical silver. And I'm waiting for it.
I was
just
thinking about the same thing.
It gets delivered. I actually did some silver eagles this time. Gets delivered from my good friends at Desert Gold Exchange. I just call them up, and Justin and his team, they do a great job. And he'll tell me, well, if you get the generic, the buffalo rounds, there's a less of a premium. And I was like, I wanted the eagles this time, so pay a little more premium.
Style.
Yeah. And they get it shipped out usually in about 48 hours or so. Desert Gold Exchange, great Arizona company. Like I said, family company. They guarantee the fees and commissions on the gold and silver, because that's all they deal with is physical gold and silver, that it's the lowest out there, because that's where you can get really hit. Pretty hard.
And the spot price is what it is.
Yeah, I like establishing. I've established a relationship with them a long time ago because if I need to buy it or sell it, or if things start going real crazy, I'm going to be like, "Yeah, I don't want any more money in the banks or something."
And hide it. Once you get it, hide it good because
you got it.
I think it was World War II. The government actually said we want all the gold.
No, it was back in Roosevelt era.
They made
gold illegal, and then the government doubled the price of gold after they force the confiscation. Anything's possible with these people. You never know. Anyway, give Desert Gold Exchange a call. 888-852-4343. 888-852-4343. Or go to desertgoldexchange.com. Back in a minute. If you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
So are we still doing a DeMarcus thing? You're still
going to DeMarcus.
You're still committed.
I'm committed.
I'm sure they're open. My bank closed, but I've got a slice of pizza.
I've got to call Jeff out. He just pulled his Les Nessman. He opened the door to look at the weather, and now we're going to get the weather report.
Snowing. Yeah.
You know, we were going to talk about, we were running out of time today, but like just a little bit of prep. Just a little prep.
Oh, we forgot about that.
If you're getting out on the roads in your cars, first of all, make sure you have good tires. You know, I just went skiing the other day.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody with a two-wheel drive car slid off Snowball Road deep into the trees. I mean, good luck getting that thing out, even with a tow truck. Make sure you got some good tires. Carry some extra water, some extra clothing, a blanket in your car.
Blanket's good. One of those space blankets.
Some kind of blanket. Some kind of warm-up.
Yeah, just in case you don't know. Didn't you see Misery?
Yeah, well, my friend Joel Anderson, he was coming back, was it 2 years ago, on I-40, and they shut down I-40 for 15 hours.
Oh, wow.
Right? And he's stuck out there. You better have a full tank of gas.
Yeah.
A blanket.
They make those little propane heaters, those portable ones.
Yeah,
now.
But you got
to
be careful.
Probably not good in a car. Yeah. No, don't listen to my advice.
Don't do it. Yeah. Don't listen.
Yeah, don't listen to my advice. Have some food.
Have some food.
Don't wear flip-flops.
Bring some good shoes.
Don't wear flip-flops, because you might have to hoof it.
Have some food, some
shovel.
Snacks. Shovel.
I mean,
a tow rope.
And you know what? If you got a car or not, front-wheel drive at least, with a little bit of clearance.
At least.
Just don't go out. Yeah. I get tired of pushing cars out.
Stay home. Order some pizza in.
Order some pizza. Yeah, there you go. All right. Back tomorrow. Mark may be back sometime this weekend. He may get snowbound, so we'll see. All right, everybody have a great, safe night. Take care. See you soon. Thanks for listening to the Jeff Orvid Show. Portions of this show may be pre-recorded. And remember, the information provided on the show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and his guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, this is Jeff Horvitz, and if you're looking for a home for rent in the Flagstaff area, check out our full inventory of 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes at flagstaff4lease.com. That's Flagstaff, the number 4lease.com. We also have office space available. A one-room suite goes for about $299 per month. Larger spaces are available. Go to flagstaff4lease.com to check availability of our homes and office space for rent. Flagstaff4lease.com is an equal housing opportunity.